Hey everybody, welcome to Creepy Club.
I thought you were going to say something, so I stopped.
I thought you were going to say your name.
All right, I will.
Okay.
Hey everybody, welcome to Creepy Club. I'm Rissa.
I'm Heidi.
And this is where we talk about creepy stuff, and spooky stuff, and weird stuff.
And true crime.
And UFOs.
And true crime.
And ghosts.
And
true crime.
Paranormal of all types.
Yeah. So how are we doing today?
Oh, my allergies. I am already anticipating how many times I'm gonna have to edit for the sneezing.
Yeah,
so apologies in advance for the choppy edits. Mm-hmm. There's literally no way around it. Like, why is the universe conspiring to kill me with nature?
Right. Yeah. I'm feeling a little low-key today too. I got a nice little chamomile lavender tea going on here, and
I'm ready to roll. I'm killing my germs with gin.
Breakfast of champions. I don't know why I said that it's evening.
It's like dinner time. It's fine. I'm a grown-up. I'm allowed to have it. But I have a friend who theorizes that when you're sick, you should have alcohol to purify.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that there's a lot of science behind that. But I think that much like NyQuil, it just makes you tired. Mm-hmm. And so you don't care.
Right.
And then you go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So she's not wrong.
Nope.
Yeah. No.
So this is an NSFW podcast. We cuss a lot. We talk about not so savory things. So be warned.
It's probably best not for little ears.
Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, sensitive folks.
Sensitive people.
Mm-hmm. Although I'm a sensitive person, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, we say that, but I feel like that's not really accurate.
It's, right.
If you're not into any of the things we just listed, this is probably not the this is not a podcast about Care Bears or
rainbows
or nope.
Unicorns.
Nope. Or what were those?
Although I really like all of those things.
Beanie Babies. It's not about the Beanie Babies.
I had a Beanie Baby collection.
Like big enough to make a pyramid out of it?
Oh, yeah. And I had the Princess Di Beanie Baby.
Did you look at it and, like, did your heart just melt?
No.
I had a hush puppy when I was a kid. It was the Buster Brown. No. Buster Brown. Hush puppy shoes. It was the dog from the store, from the advertisement.
Yeah.
And his little sad eyes, I would look at him and it would just, like, make my heart melt.
Beanie Babies have this, like, soulless...
They're dead inside.
Yeah. They're just full of beans.
Maybe it was right. Maybe it was a future nod to your interest in the undead.
Yeah.
My same friend who believes that you take care of allergies and colds with alcohol
mm-hmm.
also refers to her elderly dog as the undead. Which is...
That's very good.
Accurate. I do think that dog's like 30 years old now.
Wow.
I was like, if she was a human, she would have a pink house coat and slippers for sure. Like the kind that buttons all the way up to the neck with the round mm-hmm. collar.
Yep.
Yeah, she wouldn't. She'd just shuffle everywhere. Yeah. That sweet little thing is 1,000 years old.
So last week, if you remember, I talked about the case of Andre Daigle. And I have a couple corrections, conclusions, and clarifications, I guess you could call them that. I just have a little addendums.
Little atoms?
Atoms. Atoms-ons to the ends. So, after revisiting one of the source articles, I was kind of looking for the reason why Gervais gave up the ghost so quickly. Because we talked about how Gervais and Phillips got arrested, you know, like after the police thought that they were just stealing this truck.
Yeah. And he was basically like, and so we killed him and stapled him to a couch.
Well, I figured out I just omitted a bunch of details because I didn't think it was that important, but I got curious about it. So I went back through the article. Phillips waived his rights right when they got arrested and Gervais did not. Gervais said he wanted a lawyer. So the police started interrogating Phillips first, of course, and, like, every interrogation they did with him, he gave like a different story. So they wanted him to write it down. And so for whatever reason, Gervais was either in the room or in one of those rooms adjacent with the like see-through window thing, mirror thing. Sure. And saw Phillips writing down his story, and Gervais got it into his head that Phillips was like blaming it all on him. So Gervais was like, okay, I changed my mind. I'm going to waive my rights. I want to talk to the chief. And so then that's when he confessed to everything.
I thought the first
but Phillips wasn't blaming it on him at all. He was just saying that the truck, he was like lying about how they stole the truck, basically.
Isn't the first rule of criminal get a lawyer?
Yeah.
And don't say anything?
Yeah.
I just know from TV, not actual experience. So.
These probably aren't the brightest of criminals.
Well, you did make an awfully good point there.
Also, I wanted to correct myself. I kept saying Teresa Horn, but it's Thelma Horn.
Oh,
so sorry like to any Teresa
Thelma and Horns. Louise.
Yeah. Sorry to any Teresa Horns out there. And we also talked about, we were wondering if Thelma Horn got a different sentence because she wasn't actively involved in the murder. She did get a second degree murder charge. So the court concluded that she didn't actually murder Andre, but she like aided and abetted. So, you know.
At first I thought you were going to say she ate him.
Oh, no.
It took a really dark turn.
Interesting topic for another time, though.
People who eat people?
Yeah.
People, I really wish people wouldn't do that.
Eat people.
Sorry. That's not a nice song. That's not a nice song. That's like something a creepy clown sings.
But it's still unclear if Thelma knew whether Phillips and Gervais were actually going to murder him. And then I said that I think that they were all still alive and in jail. I don't know why I said that, because there's no evidence either for or against that fact.
You're so just making up stuff all over
like,
the place.
I was just like, I bet they're alive, because it wasn't that long ago. I did find this article, I think that you'll get a kick out of this, that I think this is the same guy, but he does kind of lie. If it is the same guy, he's lying about why he was in jail to this article. So it's an article from a like Catholic church. It's like a newsletter.
Okay.
And it says a man named Charles Gervais painted a 6 foot 6 inch by 4 foot 6 inch oil painting of Our Lady of Fatima?
I think it's Fatima.
Fatima? While he was in jail. It seems that
she's saintly.
Right. It seems that he took up the Catholic faith while he was in prison. Remember that this is the same guy that sued, or presumably this is the same guy that sued the state to practice satanic rituals in his cell. So
kind of all over the place.
If this, I'm pretty sure this is the same guy. It's in Louisiana. His name's Charles Gervais. It's probably the same guy. He's a lifer. Probably the same guy.
Right? I kind of hope he found Jesus, because I'm a little afraid of his prior interpretation of Satanism.
Right. So he
involves stapling people.
He lamented to this newsletter that he has turned away from his life of crime. And he says he ran away from home at age 12. He was cared for by quote-unquote prostitutes, and then became involved in the occult. He said he started his own cult where they killed a child, and that's why he's in prison. But we know that that is incorrect. So I think, I'm pretty sure all of that is a lie, don't you think? I mean, it sounds very storybook.
I don't think that being a sex worker makes you...
No.
Interested in the occult or cults.
Right.
I think that that's a pretty big leap. I don't think that that is typical sex worker activity. I think they have other stuff going on with their their Franklin planner.
I just think that he made up all this bullshit to, like, sell his story to this newsletter.
Now, that seems much more likely.
Yeah.
So, fun fact, people with, now, not to say that this is what he has, but you know I enjoy some abnormal psych.
Mm-hmm.
But people who have borderline personality disorder often experience identity crisis. And so they will go from like one really extreme sort of personality to another.
Hmm.
So,
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's not like a psychotic break. They don't have this sort of strong sense of self. So they're always trying on a new character.
Yeah.
You know, so to go from a Satanist to like a devout Catholic would not be unusual for someone with that diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a little unusual to observe.
Yeah.
You'd be well, that was unexpected.
It also makes me think that the whole Satanist thing was bullshit too.
That was probably, think about it. If you're in prison, you really don't have much to do.
Yeah, he's probably real bored.
Yeah, and if you are bitter and angry about the system, and like you're an okay reader, I don't know, hang out in the library and make up stuff. Go stir something up.
Yeah.
It's the best revenge scheme you could think of. I mean, it's not how I would choose to do my time.
Yeah.
And there's people, so there are people in prison who essentially act as jailhouse lawyers.
Oh.
And so they tend to be the more white collar criminal types, generally, not always. But they're the ones that go and read all the law books, and they help people write appeals and things like that. People who've got probably, you know, some overworked defense attorney.
Right.
Who works for the state, right? So they have a bajillion clients and they can barely keep their name straight. So they will barter and trade with that person. So it'd be like, I'll give you a case of ramen if you write this legal document for me or if you explain it to me. And I was like, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
That I'd totally be that person. Like, mm-hmm. I could use all my academic research skills to keep from getting shanked in prison.
Yeah.
Although, I think there's a little risk with that job because what if whatever you write or whatever you suggest doesn't go the way that you hoped it would? Like, you really have to have a good pitch that says, now, Rissa, I'm going to write this for you, but I can't guarantee results one way or another. It's in fate's hands. Like, you have to be, on one hand, very confident and sell yourself as an expert, but then in the same, at the same time, also be like, it's really kind of a mysterious process.
Yeah.
And there's no way to know for sure how it's going to turn out. So, like, when it doesn't go your way, don't shank me in my sleep.
Right.
So I'm going to have to work that out ahead of time if I ever decide to take up a life of crime.
Right.
Which I tell people, I will sing like a bird. If you are about to do something terrible, do not tell me. I am averse to confinement. I don't like to be told what to do. And prison food looks disgusting. And I'm a pretty picky eater. So I feel like that's probably not a path I'm going to take.
No.
I'm not cut out for that. Mm-mm. It's just not, there's no Orange is New Black experience waiting to happen for me.
Yeah. And so Charles Gervais also sued the state because that whole debacle where he did not waive his rights and then he waived his rights. He tried to sue the state to say they didn't respect his rights, but they did, and he waived them, and they proved it, and that case was dropped.
I don't think that's a switcheroo that you're going to pull off successfully.
No. Isn't that funny, though? Like, he was just, so litigation crazy.
Very litigious, but, again, he had a lot of free time on his hands.
Right.
And if he got a life sentence, what else is he going to do?
It's true.
I mean, you can only have so many hobbies in prison.
Right.
Very limited access to materials.
Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about today?
Okay, so today there's some abnormal psychology involved, so I'm super excited.
Woohoo!
And true crime. So Woo-hoo! It's like my two favorite things in the whole wide world smushed together.
Awesome.
The story is set in Sweden.
Mm.
Guaranteed, I'm going to butcher everybody's name. I'm just going to say that right up front.
Get your Swedish chef on.
Yeah.
My niece calls him Funny Guy.
Oh.
Isn't that cute?
She's the best.
Yeah.
Well, however I pronounce their name is guaranteed to be wrong. I think mm-hmm. we can bank on that.
Mm-hmm.
The major players, let me set the scene. So the major players, there's a bank robbery.
Ooh.
And the major player, the bank robber, the one who goes in, his name looks like Jan, but I'm going to guess it's Jan, like John.
Okay. Jan. Okay.
Well, I used to know someone whose name was Janison, and that looked like Janison. Mm-hmm. So I think he was Swedish, mm-hmm. of Swedish heritage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just making a leap there.
All right.
Okay. So I'm going to guess that Jan is really Jan, and his name is Jan Erik Olsson, maybe. It's Olsson.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that seems fairly believable, right?
Yeah.
So we're just going to call him Olsson from here on out, okay. Because I have too many questions. And for why doesn't Google tell me how to pronounce names? Why isn't that a thing?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Maybe
be super handy.
Because it's very subjective. I don't know.
Could somebody with some free time work that out for me? That'd be great.
Yep.
Okay. So he is, this is not his first rodeo with crime at all. He was furloughed from prison when he committed the crime. So I guess that means that they were overcrowded and they needed to make some space. That's mm-hmm. kind of what I get out of being furloughed from prison.
Yeah. I think there's lots of different ways from listening to like different true crime podcasts that like or stories that happen internationally. They have a lot of weird laws that we don't have here.
Yes, most of them much more humane.
Right. Oh, yes.
Generally speaking, and places
weird as
like
in different, not Norway. As in bad.
Well, I think we need to be specific about where we say they're more humane. In places like Norway and Sweden,
right?
I think that they tend to lead the pack in the right way to do human rights.
Yeah.
Versus violators of human rights.
Yeah.
Okay. So, oh, and this happened in 1973.
Okay.
Okay, so everybody's got big pointy collars
mm-hmm.
and stupid shoes and skinny pants.
ABBA's really big.
ABBA's super big, I'm sure. All the cars are boxy and long and some kind of like rusty brown
mm-hmm.
in my mind. That's how it's working out in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So Olsson, he's on furlough from prison and he's like, I don't know, I don't really have anything else to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go rob this bank, which is in a large city. I didn't even write the name of the city down because it was so many consonants. I was like, the chances of me actually being able to say the name of this, the name of the bank specifically,
mm-hmm.
It happened in Stockholm, but yeah, I was like, forget it. It's just a bank in Stockholm. That's all we need to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he's chilling. He's having his regular furloughed from prison kind of day. And he's like, I'm going to get a submachine gun. I'm going to load it up. I'm going to go to this bank. And you know what? I'm lonely. So I've got an agenda. Not only do I want some money, I want to get my buddy out. My buddy from the last time I was locked up. Really miss that guy. So
it's kind of sweet in a weird way.
Yeah, they're kind of like prison Bert and Ernie.
Oh.
And I didn't get the feeling that it was a lover kind of situation. I think that there was some, the person who's on his list of demands was someone that I think he looked up to who had a longer criminal history than him.
Mm.
And so I think he thought he was cool.
Right.
And so he's like, that guy's cool. I'm going to do him a solid. I'm going to go rob a bank and get his ass out. Because he had previously tried to blast him out of the prison, but that didn't work out.
Like, as in dynamite?
Yeah, like explosives.
Fun.
Yeah. So, okay. Hold on. I need to refer to my notes, please.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, well, I guess it's not that bad. The bank name is Credit Bankin. Here's the other problem.
Credit Bankin.
Credit Bankin. Every Swedish person now hates us.
I know. I should refrain. I'm sorry. And
Normal Storg in Stockholm. Normal Storg in Stockholm, Sweden.
I'm sorry. It's funny.
Yeah. It's Sweden's capital city.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sveriges Kreditbanken was part of Normal Storg Square, which was like an upscale part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So nice neighborhood. Olsen, you know, he's got this whole thing already worked out in his head.
Yeah.
He puts this loaded submachine gun underneath a folded jacket that he carries in his arms. Mm-hmm. And he goes into the bank, whips it out, fires it at the ceiling, and then attempts to do what we just did and disguise his voice like an American.
Oh.
Which I bet sounds equally terrible.
Right.
Nobody believed him.
I love listening to people from other countries, like, imitate Americans.
I feel like they do it way better than we do it of them.
Probably. I don't know. It's hard to tell, but it's fun.
So he cries out in English, "The party's just begun."
Whoa.
So he's a big party guy.
Yeah.
Somehow, and I read several different articles that told the same story. I didn't find any, like, lengthy, detailed account. I was hoping for something that would give me a really comprehensive timeline, because, you know, I love my research.
Yeah.
And I didn't get what I was looking for, which made me a little sad. I even had, like, a real, actual book, not just the internet. The book that I can't find now, which is very large. It's kind of surprising. Oh, I know where I put it. Never mind. I know where it is. I put it on the bookshelf. Why would I ever look there?
Yeah.
Who looks on the bookshelf?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a stupid place to put it.
It's not where books go.
No, not in my house. So a policeman comes in and responds to a silent alarm goes off, and he comes in and somehow he gets injured, but he's not killed. And none of the references that I had said in what way he was injured. I mean, I'm assuming he got shot, right?
Right. Maybe he tripped on the way in and twisted his ankle.
If I was the security person, that would be exactly what happened to me. I would, like, trip. And, you know, they have those, like, red rope theater things to make the lines at the bank. I'd, like, end up getting tangled up in those or something. So, I don't know exactly how he got hurt. It just says, all the articles and the book just said that a policeman who responded to the silent alarm was injured.
Okay.
Okay, so we're just going to imagine that Olsen did it somehow, that this is not some sort of Keystone Cops clumsy thing. So Olsen, once he gets in there, he decides his party, it's a party of five, including him.
Party of five.
I'd like a bank vault party of five with four clerks, please.
Yeah.
So he didn't take any customers. He just took clerks. And his gig as a criminal was he was a safe cracker.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a reason he went to the bank. Like, this was his.
That was his jam.
Yeah. This was his genre of crime was the safe cracking bit.
Totally.
Yeah.
This feels like a movie.
Yeah. I feel like this is, well, I think there is a movie.
Oh, great.
And it was also televised, the whole thing.
What?
It was like one of the first crimes, hostage situation type crimes that was televised continuously.
Oh, okay. Huh.
So, which I would think is mostly very boring.
Right. It'd just be like a lot of shots of the building.
Well, a lot of sitting around.
Right.
I mean, even with Waco and the whole David Koresh thing, they were mostly just sitting around.
Right.
It went on for many, many days.
Yeah.
Unless you're a psychopath, you don't want to go in guns blazing because then everybody's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So there's usually some sort of effort. What I did think was, oh, this article says the reason that he was in prison previously was a 3-year sentence for grand larceny.
What's grand larceny?
I don't know. I would have to look it up.
I was like, this is a stupid question.
I know
question.
It's some... He stole some shit. Mm-hmm. I know that's what that means. Mm-hmm. So he goes in. He's like, I'll take a vault, party of 5, 4 clerks, please, 3 of them ladies, and I'll take 1 gentleman.
Whoa.
I'd also like... Are you going to look up larceny for us so we can legalize it? He also demands the equivalent of...
Oh, theft.
Yeah. Just so theft. He stole some shit. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So he demands $700,000, like the equivalent of $700,000, mm-hmm. a getaway car, and the release of his buddy, Clark Olofsson, not to be confused with... Olson.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, and Clark, he was in jail for armed, or prison rather, not jail. He was in prison for armed robbery. Mm-hmm. And he also had been previously in prison for being an accessory to the murder of a police officer. So, like, he wasn't a great guy.
Right.
But I think there was sort of a, like, a bromance kind of thing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So
Olson and Olofsson.
Olson is the hostage taker.
Yeah.
Olofsson is the dude that he wants to get out of prison.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha.
Can we just call him Olaf? That's so much easier.
What was this? Is that his first name?
No, his first name's Clark.
Just call him Clark.
Okay. So he wanted to get his buddy Clark out. Uh-huh. Here's what's interesting to me. A couple humorous things happen. So it's televised on Swedish TV, which is interesting, for one, because it was the first thing. But because it was televised on TV, the public flooded the police station with all kinds of suggestions on how to end the hostage situation. And as you can imagine, the public was as ingenious as you would expect them to be, right? Like, I don't know how this even happens. You're like, hey, Heidi. And I'm like, yeah, Rissa. You're like, I have an idea. I know how we can make this stop. Let's go up to the police station and tell them. And our plan is going to be to release angry bees into the bank. That's how we're going to get them out. Mm-hmm. Another suggestion was to have the Salvation Army play religious tunes continuously.
That would drive me out of a bank.
I mean, I guess it's the same kind of idea. Yeah. I kind of almost don't even care what music it is. If you play it continuously long enough, I'm going to hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to be super annoyed, especially if it's too loud to be able to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't like loud noise continuously, so.
I hate when I come out of Schnucks and there's the Salvation Army ringing that damn bell. So.
The bell's super annoying. Regardless of your feelings about the Salvation Army in general, the bell is annoying.
Yes.
Whether you like them or hate them.
Yes.
The bell is just super annoying.
Yes.
And intentionally so, obviously. They would like to beckon you over. But I feel like that just drives me away. It makes me want to go away. It's kind of like the people, when you go into a department store, the ladies with the perfume.
Oh my God.
I'm allergic to literally almost every single kind of perfume that's on the planet. So now, on my, like... Let's see, I go to the mall like once every 2 years. So on my biannual visit to the mall, because there's literally nowhere else to get the thing, I make sure I have to go into a department store that I enter through a door that's nowhere near cosmetics.
Right.
Because those people might as well be like Freddy Krueger.
But it's always at the front of the store, like right by the mall entrance. So you have to walk by it. It seems like.
Oh, no, you got to exit from the exterior. You got to work the perimeter and go in. You have to be tactical about it. You can't just be, like, wandering around the mall and then wander in. First of all, that's going to be, like, that's a whole day you're never getting back. Mm-hmm. With the mall, you park as close to where the item is that you would like to purchase.
Yeah.
Get in, get out before anything terrible happens. Malls are horrible places.
When I worked on a movie a long time ago, and I was a production assistant, so I would do a lot of shopping and returns. And so, and this was before smartphones were a thing.
Oh, God.
And so what I did was I printed out maps of all of the malls and figured out exactly my route to each one to, like, maximize my, like, efficiency to getting in and out of the malls.
Oh, I'm super down with that.
I kind of wish I still, I wish I'd kept it, although it would be out of date by now, but.
Well, I'm sure that they have maps online now that you can download like as a PDF or something.
No, but it's not as cool as my binder full of mall maps.
That's true. It's how do you write that on your resume? Expert returner. Returner of items.
Yeah, you just put production assistant and they know.
Oh, interesting. Okay, now we know what that means. So the public had some really fantastic ideas. Surprisingly, the police took them up on none of them. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. At some point, they drilled a hole into the ceiling above the vault so they could have visual access to them. Uh-huh. And so there's a picture online that's like this famous picture that I didn't know existed till I read the story.
So famous.
Super famous. That just shows like a couple of the hostages sitting on the floor with blankets looking rather uncomfortable.
Right.
It looks like a pretty lame experience. Mm-hmm. The police pretty quickly start meeting his list of demands.
Oh.
They bring him a blue Ford Mustang with a tank full of gas.
I wonder how they do that. Like, do they, like, post it on Craigslist or something? Troll Craigslist or...
Well, in 1973, computer was the size of this room, so I'm going to guess no. Maybe they go to a dealership and, like, flash a badge, and they're like, I need a car, and I need it now.
That makes sense.
Except in Swedish. I don't know what a Swedish police badge looks like. Hmm. It's probably really beautiful and very, like, Swedish folk art.
I'll look it up.
Anyway, so here's where it gets even more interesting. So they get his buddy out, Clark Olofsson. They get him out. They send him in, which is just bizarre.
Yeah.
So they said...
Oh, it's real cute. Sorry, I looked up the Swedish police badge.
I told you to be cute.
It's cute. I'll send it to you. We'll post it.
Okay. So they send him in, and I'm like, why would you double the number of hostage takers?
Right.
Why wouldn't you make him come out to get his buddy?
Right.
That doesn't make much sense to me, but I'm not a hostage negotiator, so I'm sure there was some sort of maybe reason.
Right. It's so much cuter than ours.
This does not surprise me.
Yeah, everything about Sweden is better than the United States.
IKEA comes from there, so.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Right. The captives almost immediately started bonding with their captors. So this is where the phrase Stockholm Syndrome. This is the incident that happened where that phrase was born. So one woman in particular, her name is Kristen Enmark. Mm-hmm. She really was very empathetic towards her captors and Olsen in particular. So she reports that, like, at one point she was shivering and he draped his jacket over her. She had a bad dream and he soothed her. Aww. He gave her a bullet as a souvenir. Weird.
That is totally weird. I love it.
Yeah. I think this lady's name is Brigida. Brigida Lundbald.
Ooh, that's a good name.
She had been trying to contact her family, and Olsen was like, boo, don't give up. Just keep trying. You'll get a hold of them. Mm-hmm. So he was being weirdly supportive, but also threatening at the same time.
Huh.
Yeah. And then, let's see, Elizabeth Oldgren. She was the third woman. She was really claustrophobic and starting to freak out about being in the vault. Mm-hmm. So he did her a kindness. That's definitely in quotes. And he tied a rope around her so she could walk about 30 feet outside of the vault. Like, she could pace back and forth outside of the vault. So he put her on a leash.
Oh, my God.
But in her mind, he was being so nice to her.
Yeah. So was he, like, manipulative?
I would say so. Okay. I mean, he's clearly a sociopath, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
Super manipulative. And honestly, I think he played it smart with his captors. If you are nice more than you're nasty, you're probably going to get better compliance.
Right.
So
that makes sense. I mean, it sort of reminds me of the whole idea of the pickup artist thing where you you neg the girl to get her to like you or something like that.
Oh, yeah. But he also choked one of them. So
yeah, that's totally negging.
He wasn't super nice. Right. He wasn't nice all the time. He was he could be abusive too.
Yeah.
But it evolved to such a point where on day two, the police commissioner came in to assess the health of the captives. And he said that the captive seemed more hostile towards him than they were toward their captors.
That's bonkers.
Yeah. And that Kristen and Mark lady in particular, really super empathizing with her captors, with Olson and Olofsson.
Huh.
Yeah. Kristen ends up calling the Prime Minister of Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like,
she got him on speed dial?
Totally. Let's see, 73. I mean, rotary phones were definitely around, but they probably had push button. There was some push button action. I don't know about speed dial, though. I don't think that was a thing yet.
Mm-hmm.
But so she's like, hey, Mr. Prime Minister, it's Kristen, the one in the vault. I was just calling because I'm chilling here with my buddies, Olson and Olofsson, and they're super nice guys. And I was thinking, since they've been so nice to us, that maybe you could let us all out. But I'm really worried that the police are going to do something terrible. Like, they're going to attack us. So she called the Prime Minister, I believe, twice.
Hmm.
Kristen may have had some troubles prior to the hostage situation.
Yeah? Like, what makes you say that?
I just am kind of wondering, being so sympathetic and empathetic towards someone who's clearly abusive makes me wonder, what was your background?
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
So, at one point, Olson, so the guy who got released from prison. No, not the guy who got released from prison. The original guy. Damn, why do they have to have names that are so close? So, Olson, so he threatens to shoot Sven, who's the only dude, he threatens to shoot him in the leg.
Poor Sven.
And Kristen's like, Sven, it's just a leg. she's all, again, sympathizing with him. I mean, he's got to shoot something, obviously. I mean, it is just your leg.
Mm-hmm.
Do the guy a solid and let him shoot your leg.
Right. Come on, dude. Don't be a...
Right. Stop being a wuss.
Yeah.
And let him shoot you in the leg.
Yeah.
I don't know what... So you can see how this idea that people become bonded to their captors, that I don't know. Would it really be a diagnosis, a condition?
Mm-hmm.
That's not normal behavior. It's definitely in the realm of abnormal.
Right.
That is not a normal response to someone abusing you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're nice to you sometimes.
Yeah.
That's kind of how abusers work.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I'm going to be nice to you today, but tomorrow I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
They're always shifting the boundaries, right?
Right.
So he's very classic in that regard. Just let me shoot the leg and then I'll drape a coat over you if you get chilly. Or I'll put a leash around you so you can walk around like a small dog outside the vault.
Right.
Very generous guy.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Super, nice. Mm-hmm.
Super duper nice. This goes on for 130 hours.
Ugh.
That is a really, I'm bad at math. So how many days is that?
Let me get out my calculator.
Okay, get out the adding machine. Do you have one that has the roll of tape? I always like to play with those.
No. I'm sorry. It's about 5 days
and
five
change.
And 5.5 days-ish.
Okay, that's a really long time to be in a vault.
Yeah.
And the one question that was never answered.
Where did they poop and pee?
That's what I was just going to say. There had to be escorted trips to the restroom. Otherwise, that vault would have smelled bad.
Yeah. How big was the vault, did we say?
Let me check. Let me check my sources.
Is it like a spacious studio apartment, or is it like a walk-in closet?
Well, the lady with claustrophobia felt uncomfortable there, so I'm thinking not so much big.
Gotcha. That makes total sense.
Here's the picture. I would say more walk-in closet than room, judging by this picture.
Okay, yeah, it's like a long, skinny room.
It doesn't look like anywhere I want to spend 5.5 days.
Oh, no, no. Mm-mm. I mean, I don't really want to... I would get claustrophobic in my own house for 5.5 days.
And it looks like... Why does this guy look like Eddie Rabbit? I'm going to have to look at... Sorry, Eddie Rabbit, I'm sure you're a great guy.
Who's Eddie Rabbit?
I Love a Rainy Night. Do you know that song?
You Love a Rainy Night?
Why do you make me feel old sometimes?
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, in this picture, he kind of looks like Eddie Rabbit, who was, he was a famous rock star back in the olden days.
Okay, thank
you. And he
you.
Sang a song called I Love a Rainy Night. He was a pop star.
Okay.
But he kind of looks like him in this picture. I'm going to tell it to some old person later, so I feel validated.
Okay.
Okay. It looks like mostly hard surfaces and super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
There's...
It's not one of those padded vaults with the heated seats.
I don't think that's a thing.
No, it's not.
No. No. Although there is that coffee shop that's fairly near here that used to be a bank that has a vault that you can sit in.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever been in there?
Yeah.
Shaw Coffee Company, I think. Feel free to send us a... bag, I guess, like a giant bag of we would accept a bag of coffee your free plug.
I love their coffee.
I would like a light roast, please.
Also, it reminds me of that art gallery that used to be a police station, right? Has the jail cells and stuff in it. Mad Dog?
Mad Art. Mad Art Gallery. The guy that owns that gallery has two of the biggest dogs I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, so it wouldn't be off base to be called Mad Dog.
No, it really wouldn't. Well, and you could have, I don't remember the name of the barbecue joint, Capitalist Pig.
Oh, yeah.
Was the name of the barbecue. I can't believe I just pulled that one right out of the attic. That was like magical. There's some voodoo in the air today. I never remember stuff. Anyway, the guy that owns that place... he's like a friend of a friend, you know what I mean? Like we have people in common. So I've been there when it's not open to the public and he's had the dogs just chilling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're wolf hybrids.
Whoa.
They make Great Pyrenees look like toy poodles.
Really?
They're gigantic.
Wow.
And I was like, hi, doggy. Like, I really thought I might have to go hide in one of those cells to mm-hmm. save myself.
Wow.
Because what if this dog wolf decides it doesn't like me?
Yeah.
I'm going to literally have no chance because my whole body could fit in its stomach.
Yeah. I mean, presumably they're good dogs or else their owner probably wouldn't bring them to work to scare off customers, but...
I hope so.
I find that I might be wrong. And I might... I might only have a very small sample size, but like I feel like the bigger the dog, the sweeter the dog.
I think that these dogs were as much guard dogs as they were pets.
Oh,
I would I could inquire with a mutual friend about their friendliness, but from what I recall, I kind of wanted to pet them because how often do you see a dog that large? I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit. They were not like the size of horses, but they were pretty flippin' huge. I've never seen a regular dog this big. And I've seen like a Great Pyrenees up close. I've been around some really big dogs before.
I'm thinking
before.
Of like a Great Dane that's like, you know, when it's standing, it's taller than a human.
Right. This is more wolf fluffy.
Okay.
So... if you exploded out like a German Shepherd, like a wolf. They look like wolf dogs. Yeah. I don't know if they really were a hybrid or not, or if they were just some gigantic breed of German Shepherd. But
they're dire wolves.
They were definitely over 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Big, giant dogs. So I kind of want to snuggle with them because they, you know, once they get that big, they start to look like a bear. And, you know, my fantasy is to, like, spoon a bear. In my mind, they want to.
That's really
funny. In reality,
they want to kill you.
They, well, they're not against it. They just have, like, a different end game. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to nuzzle into their bear neck and, so cozy, so warm. And they're like, so tasty.
Is that why you married a 7 foot tall man?
Yes, that's where I married the Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm kind of tall, so
yeah,
I needed somebody who, it's the only way I'm going to feel tiny.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, he'll be like, can I sit on your lap? And I'm like, no. There's no furniture big enough. For, like, they don't make furniture. They barely make furniture big enough for him,
mm-hmm.
much less me and him together.
Right.
It's just going to be, like, a pile of kindling on the ground if they put the, like, I'm not a small potato, and then he is the literal Jolly Green Giant.
Right.
So that's just a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
Or he'll say things like, I'm going to jump into the bed. He's just trying to make me crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're going to break the box spring in half.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not, like, gigantically overweight. That's not, he's just a big, giant person.
Yeah.
His people hail from somewhere near Sweden in that area. So yeah, he's probably, okay. like, half a Viking or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
Or the Nephilim.
You know, I don't about those? I don't know.
I'm going to have to do that on another episode.
His people are from some tiny island in that general area.
Oh, okay.
And then there's, like, another branch of the family that's Native American and Black.
Hmm.
But he clearly does not.
No.
He just looks like a gigantic pasty white guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't. But his dad, you can see the Cherokee in his dad for sure.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Anyway, so 130 hours... Okay. In a walk-in closet with nothing soft except for Jan's jacket, Olsen's jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen, old codependent Kristen, she continues to insist that the captors get to go first because she's so concerned about their well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they don't go first, then they're going to kill them. Which, maybe she's not wrong, necessarily, but her concern for them is a little unusual, I would say. So they said that when they finally deployed tear gas after this 130 hours through that hole in the ceiling, but they did not get a swarm of angry bees as suggested by the public.
Yeah, why didn't they do that a long time ago, though? It seems like, duh.
I wasn't there. I can't really say for sure.
Okay, I'll let you off the hook this time.
Okay, I'll see if I can wrangle up somebody. Maybe one of these guys is still alive in jail.
Yeah.
Or maybe Kristen's still around.
Mm-hmm.
Or Kirsten or whatever her name is. Anyway, when they finally emerge from the bank, the hostages and the criminals kissed and shook hands. It was that kind of friendly.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were like on a first name basis by the second day.
Mm-hmm.
They had that kind of relationship.
I mean, I don't think that that's so unusual, like having a first name basis. When you're stuck.
Hugging and trapped. Kissing the people that kept you trapped in a vault for 5 days?
I'm just saying the first name basis thing. Like, I would hope that I would be on a first name basis with everybody in that vault by the end of 48 hours.
I feel like you're going to know a lot about each other.
Yeah, right.
In every kind of way you can think of.
Yeah.
As they were leaving, as they were taking away Olsen and Olofsson.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Thank you. Kristen and Mark yells out, I'll see you again.
Whoa.
Yeah. And she did.
Whoa.
Several of the hostages, and they didn't say which ones, made jailhouse visits. They went and visited them in prison.
That's so crazy.
So even after, I mean, you think about how long I imagine there was a somewhat speedy trial since he was furloughed from prison and the other one probably just went straight back. And he also claimed, like, I didn't really have anything to do with it. I didn't ask to be dragged out of prison and put in a vault. Like, it wasn't my idea. He ended up getting his conviction overturned. He said that, like, oh, I was trying to help keep the situation calm. And I guess there wasn't really a lot of compelling evidence one way or another.
Yeah.
There's really no way to know for sure if it was pre-planned or if... I think he maybe, in this case, I think there was some kind of, like, hero worship, like, bromance thing happening.
Yeah.
I think that Olson maybe didn't tell him ahead of time. I don't know.
Right. Or, and maybe, like, when they're in prison together, Olufsen was like, hey, if you ever get out and you rob a bank, you should tell him to get me out, too.
Right. Right. Kind of like.
Yeah. I mean,
like,
it doesn't,
one of those plans
doesn't really,
you hatch when you're real drunk.
Yeah. It doesn't really seem like this
whole
thing was.
We're going to be best friends for forever. Call me tomorrow.
Right. Like, it doesn't seem like this whole thing was planned out by them from the start. Like, it definitely seems like something Olson just decided to do.
I think he was a little lonely for his buddy.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's okay.
It seems like he was lonely for
there's no internet
everyone.
Yet.
Yeah.
So I suppose there's no internet cafe to go hang out in. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what you do in Stockholm. I don't know. What do Swedes do for fun?
Chocolate? Watches?
Dollar horses? Paint dollar horses, maybe?
What?
Those cool horses from Sweden. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's D-A-L-A.
Nope. Gonna look it up.
Oh, okay. They have candy shaped like them at IKEA.
Oh, I'll have to look for that.
Like traditional folk art. They're usually carved from wood. They're decorative.
Oh, yeah. They're so cute.
They're super cute. So that's probably not what people probably don't really whittle dollar horses for fun. No. I don't know what you do. Probably cold weather activities because I don't think it's hot there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I did once, 1,000 years ago, back in the dial-up AOL days, I had an AOL buddy who was from Sweden,
mm-hmm.
who sent me a picture of a very beautiful Swedish man that I like to believe was real.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that it was some greasy guy from New Jersey.
Yeah.
But just let me have my fantasy.
Yeah. No, I had a very similar experience with dial-up AOL.
Really?
He
sent a lot of convincing pictures of, like, the family farm and those kinds of things that made me think he was... Now, the picture of him where he looks kind of like David Beckham.
Whoa.
Right. The chances of him being that beautiful are probably fairly slim.
Yeah. But I don't think...
It's not like we were going to meet, so it was okay.
Yeah, I don't think that I'm trying to remember if he was actually Swedish or if maybe he was German or some... It was some, you know, Nordic country and...
Germany's not really Nordic, but
I know,
okay.
But I kind of lump it in with that.
Is it the Lederhosen? Is the folk art?
Yeah, something like that.
Just makes you think of all those...
To me, it's similar. I don't remember him being David Beckham hot, but, you know, whatever.
We might have to review some geography.
I mean, I know it's not. I know they're not very... I mean, they're close.
Kinda.
They're close geographically, and they just remind me of each other.
Okay, fair enough. Who am I to judge what reminds you of what?
And it's not like I would argue that. It's just like, in my head, I could make that association if I'm trying to remember, like, where this internet pen pal was from. You know what I mean?
Sure. And I do
it's
think
like
of
somewhere
like
over there.
Traditional wooden cuckoo clock, Sweden, dollar horse.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same sort of folk arty kind of thing. Like, I don't know. You probably ski for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty mountains, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Where were we?
Well, they get out. Kristen and Mark's like, I'll see you again. And the hostages do indeed go visit him in jail. Olson, surprisingly, gets released in 1980, so he served less than 10 years.
Huh. Well, because his conviction, right? This is the second guy.
Olson's the one that did it.
Right. Oh, so he's the one that got out in 1980?
Yeah, and it was August of 1973 when the robbery happened. So that's, pretend it's 74 practically, right?
Right.
So he, like, six years?
Sorry. Brain's not working today.
I totally understand. I have so much allergy medication on board, I'm surprised that I can complete sentences. I was at the office, and I literally could not stop sneezing. It was just sneeze, 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 sneeze. I was annoying myself.
Oh.
And so I had already taken Allegra and nose spray and Sudafed, and I was thinking, how many more drugs can I put in my body before I've exceeded some sort of
your liver shuts down?
Pharmaceutical limit. So I went and pulled coworkers. Well, actually, I went straight for one. I went for the office mom who keeps snacks and a pharmacy.
Aww, I love that.
She raised three girls, so she's always prepared. Mm-hmm. She's like basically the Girl Scout leader of the office. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, do you have like cold allergy, anything? And of course she's like, let me get out my basket of drugs for you, over-the-counter medicine for you. And so I took some DayQuil. So DayQuil on top of all of that other stuff. And it was still like at least another half an hour before I stopped sneezing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's been awesome like that all day. I can only hope it continues to be as amazing tomorrow.
Right.
But I said this before, Olofsson's conviction was overturned because he claimed I was just helping, man. I didn't know anything about it.
Right.
No way to really know if it's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those, like, I mean, we're not going to know unless one of them confesses. Olson ends up marrying a woman who wrote to him while he was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And he now lives in Thailand and they have a grocery store.
Huh. You can go right now?
Well, at the time the article was written, which was, I don't know. I can look.
In the 80s?
No, I think it was more recent than that.
It could be still open. I mean,
the main article that I was looking at was on history.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the article was written in August of 2013. Oh.
Oh.
And the title of the article is The Birth of the Stockholm Syndrome 40 Years Ago. He moved to Thailand in 2009. So he was in Sweden, presumably, for 29 years. Oh, no, I read that wrong. Okay. So he was released in 80. He marries the lady who was visiting him while he was incarcerated. They moved to Thailand. Then in 2009, he releases an autobiography.
Oh.
Entitled Stockholm Syndrome.
So a little narcissistic too, huh?
You think? Clark Olofsson, he kind of looks like he could have been a Beatle. Like, if you check out his outfit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're not an early Beatle. Yeah, like, he's an okay, handsome guy. He's kind of got the Beatles haircut and the skinny tie and the smart suit, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So he doesn't look mobstery scary.
No.
No, not at all. He had come from, like, a pretty less than ideal background. Like, both his parents were alcoholics. He was in and out of the equivalent of juvenile hall sort of situations. And then he had some kind of petty crime stuff. Then later in 1966, he was an accessory to a murder. So mm-hmm. he went to prison for that. He robbed a bank in Gothenburg in 1973 and was transported to the Kalmar prison where he met Olson.
Okay.
Okay. After the Stockholm syndrome, after the Stockholm robbery, he later escaped from prison in 1975, and he was really into this bank robbing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was like, I'm going to go see what's going on over in Copenhagen, and rob that.
Robbed that? Robbed Copenhagen? The whole city?
He robbed the bank of SEK.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sec.
And I don't know what happened to him after that. Anyway, okay. One other article said, like, he was apologetic, and I'm like, whatever. Maybe. But Kristen,
oh,
she went and visited Olson. Olafson. I don't know. She went and visited one or both of them in prison. I think it was... No, she went and visited Olson in prison, and they stayed friends, and he became friends, like, with her family.
Okay.
Okay, if you take hostage anyone I even know, I don't even have to like you. If you take hostage anyone I even know, anyone I don't even know, I don't want to be your friend, and I don't want you to be my family friend either. I want you to stay the hell away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know what Kristen's deal was. There was, I do think that there's also maybe some sort of movie, and if I can find the reference to it, that's probably in my book on the bookshelf in that very nonsensical place that I put it. I will add it to the notes.
So, is there any psychology? I mean, do you know any of the psychology behind the Stockholm Syndrome? Is it, I mean, it seems very similar to an abuser abusee sort of relationship. Is that,
well, yes,
connected?
I don't know. I guess I would have to inquire with my friends who are actual professionals, not just people who like to guess like I do. I mean, I have a degree in psychology, but not, I didn't go far enough for that.
Right.
I have a bachelor's. You got to go way farther than that to really be able to do that kind of analysis. I would hedge my bets that you probably have an abusive background to be susceptible to that, but maybe not. I was watching something the other day that was talking about, it's the new Netflix series. I think it's called, like, Inside the Criminal Mind, something like that. And a psychologist, he was talking about how people always think, like, they would never be susceptible to a cult. Except the truth is, most people who end up in cults are not, like, weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
They're maybe at a place in their life where things are not stable, mm-hmm. or they're vulnerable in some way. And so that kind of insta-family is appealing.
Yeah.
But they're not necessarily, you know, they're not necessarily, like, mentally ill or emotionally disturbed people.
Yeah.
They might be just kind of having a hard time in life right then. So, I don't know. Maybe she was just, like, having relationship woes.
Yeah.
And it mirrored her, that relationship. So, it seemed familiar. But it seems like there would have to be some familiarity to it to accept it so easily. But you also think when people are under stressful conditions, they do all kinds of weird stuff.
Right.
You know, we've talked about before on a different episode when I had my car crash and I was in shock. Like, I was, like, all obsessed about where's my purse.
Yeah.
Which was such a silly thing when you look at the big picture. Mm-hmm. Like, my car was completely totaled. I wasn't worried about that at all. But I was like, God forbid I have to go get a new driver's license. That'll be the end of the world. You know?
You're not far off.
No. I mean, but that was legitimately my primary concern. And so I would think that you would be in some sort of state of shock throughout that experience. It would be sustained over that period of time.
So were all five hostesses?
Well, it started out as a party of five.
It was three females, one male.
Verb agreement problems. There were fruit. I'm going to blame the cold medicine. Three female clerks, mm-hmm. one male clerk. Remember Sven?
Yeah.
Because he wanted to shoot Sven's leg.
Mm-hmm.
And then Olsen, who was the lonely captor. Guy,
yep.
the captor. And then his buddy Olafson. So it ended up being a party of six, but it started out as five.
So were all four of the hostages, did they all four have Stockholm Syndrome? Did Sven get this?
I don't know about Sven. They barely talked about Sven in any of the articles that I read.
Okay. So
they said very little about anyone, honestly, other than Kristen.
Okay.
Because she was really kind of a standout in her, I mean, she called the prime minister.
Then I think you're right about she probably had some sort of abuse in her background. And, you know, maybe the others didn't. And so maybe the others were just like, okay,
well, the others didn't not agree with that. I mean, the one who got put on her rope leash was like, oh, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so the women were...
Maybe it's also...
There was, like, a spectrum of behavior. Like, yeah. If Stockholm Syndrome has a spectrum, there was one extreme to the other. But I think that they all demonstrated some degree of it. Well, now, maybe, Sven, they didn't really say.
Maybe it's related to, like, the mass hysteria thing. You know, like, group mentality thing more is what I mean.
Yeah, maybe Kristen was really a very strong personality, a strong leader, and they figured... I better go along to get along.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. I don't know. They didn't talk a whole lot about them other than sort of the oddness of her behavior and relationship mm-hmm. to the way that she was being treated. And then, you know, like hugging and kissing like they're leaving some sort of cocktail party, except they've been hostages for 5 days.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's where Stockholm Syndrome comes from.
That's really interesting. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either, or I read it and forgot it. Either way, same difference.
Same difference.
Same difference. There's a lot of, I reflect back on my undergraduate abnormal psych type classes were my favorite because, you know, people are super weird and interesting. Yeah. I feel like I remember those better than some of my other ones. Like there was this, I took a whole class on motivation and I clearly was not paying attention because I can neither motivate anyone else or myself.
Yeah, totally.
I can motivate my dogs if I have treats.
Oh yeah. That's.
I did not master any theory. Let's put it that way. It was kind of a big class and the instructor was not the most interesting mm-hmm. in my defense, but.
So do you have a happy, fun, light thing to end on?
Oh, gosh. I don't... Not today. I don't think I've got anything today.
That's fine. The thing that comes to mind for me is that I'm doing a 60 workout challenge from this week till the end of December. I'm supposed to get 60 workouts in at my gym.
How many times a week is that?
Four.
Ooh.
I think if I go four times a week, that's like 62 or 64 or something like that.
It's pretty intense. Good for you.
Yeah. I'm really tired.
I was going to say, I feel...
It's week one.
I feel slightly exhausted just thinking about it, but mm-hmm. I support you 100%. I mean,
I've been averaging 3 times a week. So 4 shouldn't be that much worse.
I mean, you majored in athleticism. You majored in dance. I majored in thinking about stuff.
So. I never thought, it's funny because I never thought of dance as a sport, like, or me being athletic at all until I left college, stopped dancing, and gained about 50 pounds, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, I was exercising, like, almost 24 hours a day. That's...
Yeah.
I had no idea. And it took me a really long time to find a physical activity that I could stick to and enjoy. So, trying to do this 60 workout challenge. And part of the challenge is checking in every day on Facebook and or every time I go to work out. And so I feel like that's going to be super annoying for the people that that are friends with me. But I'm kind of trying to be like, okay, but that's, I'm just projecting that.
It's accountability.
I'm projecting that. Yeah.
I'm not going to be annoyed by that.
Yeah.
Honestly, good. I would Thanks. Think good for her. And maybe there might be a little negative self-talk.
I'm a lazy bum. I totally unfollowed a friend of mine because they were checking in at the gym like every day. And I was like, fuck this, I don't need to feel bad about myself.
Now, if you start
then projecting that onto everyone else.
Well, if you start taking pictures of, like, the curve of a muscle or something, like, that's when it starts getting into obnoxious territory. I'm not saying you shouldn't take the pictures, just maybe go easy.
I mean, I'm not gonna post any muscle pictures.
I don't know, though, but if you, like, got a badass bicep, I'd be like, yeah!
Well, I did...
Good for you.
I did gain 1/2 inch on my bicep from last month to this month, so that's cool. I'm getting stronger.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if 1/2 inch is really good for a month, but We'll see.
I feel like that's enough.
I'm just taking measurements once a month to see.
I'm currently avoiding the scale.
Well,
I'm pretending like I kicked also, it under my dresser like it doesn't exist.
I also gained 2 pounds, so like, I don't know, who's to say? I don't really know. I'm kind of new to this whole like workout muscle body thing, so just experimenting and seeing what happens. The only thing that really matters to me is that I feel a lot better, so that's it. Like, I don't care about losing weight anymore. I'm just like, I used to be obsessed with that. I used to be really down on myself for my body weight, and then came a point where I was like, I just don't care anymore. And if I'm this weight for the rest of my life, that's fine. And then that's when I started working out. So
my thing is always just, I just want to be able to do what I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to be able to climb the stairs without getting winded. That's all.
That's not an unreasonable goal. I feel like you can do that.
Yep, I can do that now. I'm stronger. I can also pick up Brandon.
That's fun.
It is fun.
I'm never going to be able to pick up the Jolly Green Giant.
Never say never. Believe in yourself.
I wish you could see my face.
Yeah.
Not with that injury. Uh-huh. I mean, just even, not even weight, just length.
Right. Do you think you could do that thing where you lay on your back and you put his...
Oh, like I make him a surfboard? Like
no, a plank? No. Like put him on your feet, like above you. You know, like doing the airplane thing that you do with little kids. Yeah. Do you think you could do that?
Ooh. Given how clumsy both of us are, I think that's probably ill-advised. Mm-hmm. I had an idea because I saw someone on one of those electric scooters recently, and I was like, our husky mix, I bet he would really like to go for like a good run. He would probably enjoy that, right? So I'm like, what if I get one of those like electric razor scooter things and a harness and a leash? And so then I could lazy jog him, like jog.
You know what I was picturing before you said razor scooter? One of those rascals.
That would also be fine. I don't think that'd go fast enough for him, though.
Right.
He can run really fast.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell that he was meant to mush in his life. Mm-hmm. The half a basset slows him down sometimes. But, and I thought, so anyway, I asked Facebook if they thought that this was a good idea. And there was a resounding no. Nobody supported this plan. I got zero support.
Well, and in fact, just talked about how you're very clumsy.
I did fall up the stairs yesterday, so it's been one day with that accident.
You tripped over an inch threshold in my kitchen.
Okay, so it's been 0 days since my last accident.
Sorry, that sounded really bullying. I'm sorry.
Don't shame me. Yesterday I was walking into the cafe at work, and so I have to go up a flight of stairs, and there's this like rubbery stuff over the steps to make them no skid. Now I'm just making up things. No skid, but the glue has worn away and the toe box of my shoe grabbed the underside of it. Some nice gentleman was holding the door open for me. Another guy was approaching, and there's only 4 steps. Mm-hmm. So my goal was to go up the 4 steps without falling on my face.
Oh, that's generally the goal when people go up steps.
I did not succeed.
You fell on your face?
I totally went splat.
Oh.
Yeah. I caught my toe on that rubber thing and fell up all 4 steps. Oh, my husband asked me this morning why I had a bruise on my butt. I bet that's why.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. I stopped paying attention. There's too many of them. I can't keep track of all that. I bump into way too much stuff.
Maybe the razor scooter idea is not great.
I thought at least one person could support me.
Yeah.
But I maybe mean, they are supporting me. Maybe they're supporting me by telling me that's not a great idea.
Right. Yeah.
And my friend who is aware of some of my quirks was like, this is a terrible, terrible idea. I was like, but then you could visit me like on breaks at the hospital. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, no, please don't do that. I was like, fine.
It might be better to hire somebody else to do that.
Like somebody young with good knees?
Sure.
Skateboarder. So, I need a skateboarder.
That's a great place to end it.
I think it is.
Thank you, Brandon Lee Chilcote, for our wonderful intro and outro music. If you have any personal stories, like if you know somebody who's had the Stockholm Syndrome, or if you've had Stockholm Syndrome yourself, or
if you have, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. But tell us about it. We're curious. If
you want to.
If you've robbed a bank, don't tell us.
No, I'll turn you right in. I'll sing like a bird.
If you have any Swedish heritage, we want to know about it. You can tweet us at Creepy Club Pod, or you can email us at creepyclubpodcast@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/creepyclubpodcast. You can follow us on Instagram at Creepy Club Podcast. You can follow me on Instagram at Creepy Club Rissa. You can follow Heidi at Creepy Club Heidi. And if you want to look at our show notes, which we call meeting minutes, you can go to creepyclubpodcast.com. We'd also love, 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 love it if you could rate and review and subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever podcast app that you use. We're a small independent podcast, and your reviews help us grow. We would love that. I mean, we would probably do this podcast if, you know, just my mom listened to it, but... Hi, Mom. Thanks for listening. Love you. Anyway, but it would
Hi,
be...
Mom and Pop.
But it would be great if we could grow our audience as well. So thanks for listening, and we hope you join us next time. Meeting adjourned.